that song. Amazed at how the Lord just puts all the songs together. Amen? And what a joy. What a blessing. Very blessed by the music ministry of Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church. And I know you are as well. Open your Bibles today, please, to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 1. The book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 1. While you're turning there, I will say that once again, it is good to be in the house of the Lord, is it not? On this beautiful summer-like morning. All you people from Florida brought this weather back from you. That's just kind of mean-spirited, I think. We were fine until you brought this weather back. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. I want to preach on this subject titled simply this morning, A Woman Who Turned a Nation Back to God. A woman who turned a nation back to God. To say that a mother has a difficult job is an understatement. And I sincerely mean that. If you have children, and if you are a father, husband, and have children, and your wife has ever gone and left you with those babies, shall we pray? I won't say who it was, but there's one of the men in our church that said to me a couple weeks ago, he said, "Preacher, I love having a couple young'uns," he said, "but one more scares me to death." I ain't going to say who that was, Michael, but it was somebody with the name Michael, I think it was. But we're grateful, and I really mean that. I'm thankful, and you all have a very, very tough job. Somebody said raising kids and raising a husband is difficult, amen? I'm thankful. It reminds me of my little grandmother who, after my granddaddy had passed away, he died in 1988. And a few years later, I said to my grandmother, I said, "Grandma, are you ever going to marry again?" And I quote, this is what she said to me. She said, "Honey, I've raised one. I'm not raising another one." That's what she said. And that's exactly what she said. That's the gospel truth. That's what my little granny said. First Samuel, chapter number 1. Please stand with me in honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. We're going to read just a couple of verses this morning, starting verse number 26. What we're going to talk this morning about, we're going to talk about a lady by the name of Hannah. I love the story of Hannah and Samuel. Hannah was the mother of a young man by the name of Samuel. But what we see in the beginning of his life, in the beginning of how it all began and how Samuel even came about really is a remarkable story in the Word of God. He's one of the key figures in the Old Testament, Samuel is. But I want to show you the influence of a mother in the life of this young man. So the Bible says in chapter 1 of 1 Samuel, in verse 26, "And she," speaking of Hannah, "said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord." Notice verse 27, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore, also I have lent him to the Lord. So long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. Let's pray. Our Father, Lord, we love you. We're grateful, Father, for Hannah in the Old Testament. We're thankful, Lord, for the joy that she shows us and the diligence that she shows us of prayer. So, Father, I ask now, bless all the mothers that are in our room today. May you have free reign. May your Holy Spirit be our teacher and our guide. May you encourage hearts as only you can. And we'll praise you for what you're going to do, Father, in Jesus' name. And amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, when you look at these verses, you find several interesting thoughts about these verses. Hannah now is giving praise to God for a child. But what we have to understand in this text is Hannah had come through some difficulty and come through some really a lot of traumatic aspects of her life to have this baby. And what I want to show you this morning, this interesting story of Samuel, is this. Before this story is over with, you're going to find that this baby, who will be named Samuel, is going to grow up. God's going to use him mightily to bring a nation back to him. God's going to use him as a priest. He's going to use him as a prophet. And God's going to use Samuel as an anointer of kings. All because, and I'm going to show you scripturally, all because a mother had a burden, a lady, a woman had a burden to have a baby and believed God that God could do something miraculous in her life. And I want to show you some things here real quick. Turn back to chapter number 1, verse number 1, and let's see as this story begins to unfold for us about this woman who turned a nation back to God. Notice, first of all, Hannah's pain. Notice her pain. It gives us some insight into the pain that Hannah experienced. The Bible says in verse number 1, now there was a certain man of Ramath-aim-Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. Notice verse number 2, though. The Bible says that this man, Elkanah, he had two wives. Now, let me just go on. Let me just say something to you, that Hannah's pain is going to be shown to us in a couple of different aspects. First of all, her pain came because she had a disobedient, write this down, ladies, fellas, she had a disobedient husband. May I remind you the greatness of the Word of God. Here's what's so great about the Bible. The Bible gives us the whole story. The Bible gives us the bumps, the bruises of many people in the Word of God. May I remind you on the authority of Scripture, the Bible says that he had two wives. But may I absolutely specifically make this statement here this morning? That was not God's will for his life. God's will for marriage is one man, one woman, for one lifetime. Now you say, preacher, yeah, but the Bible says that he had two wives, so therefore God must have condoned it. Don't you dare read into that. Don't you dare put into the Bible what is not there. God just simply tells us that this Elkanah and this man, he was disobedient. He knew the Word of God. He knew, understanding his heritage and his culture, he knew that marriage was a sacred institution created by God, where God took a man. The original first marriage ever recorded in the Bible was God taking Adam, bringing Eve to him, and the two becoming one flesh. They bore children, and God blessed their family. Yes, they sinned, and travestly sinned, just sadly sinned. However, the grace of God was in their life when the Lord covered their sin and killed the animal and covered them and brought them back into his presence. But Hannah's pain, the Bible tells us the names of these two ladies, these two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Penina. Penina had children. Look at the rest of the verse. But Hannah had no children. Hannah's pain was due to a disobedient husband. Understanding it was not only a disobedient husband, her pain was caused because she had a dysfunctional family. She had a dysfunctional home. She had a disobedient husband. She had a dysfunctional home. I can see her husband saying to her, well, you can't give me a child. You can't give me a son to carry on my heritage, to carry on my lineage. So therefore, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do what pleases me. And I'm going to go find me another woman that can do that. Oh, you'll still be my wife, but she'll be my wife, and she will be used of God to carry on my legacy. The only problem with that, it was a violation of God's written word. And ladies and gentlemen, hear my heart this morning. Anytime, whether it be male or female, we disobey the word of God, we will suffer consequence for that. Can I get a witness in the room? Now you say, oh, but pastor, to the ladies, to the wives that are in this room this morning, something that the story of the man Elkanah teaches us is, and what this story is going to unfold for you, is regardless, hear my heart this morning, regardless if your husband serves the Lord or doesn't serve the Lord, it should not stop you from serving the Lord. Amen? Don't allow anyone from stopping you from serving Jesus Christ. And the reason I say that is because, friend, Jesus is worthy of your service to him. And Jesus knows all about your circumstance. He knows all about your situation. You say, yeah, but pastor, what do I do if my spouse is disobedient to God? Here's what you do for them. You pray for them and you commit them to Jesus. You pray for them, you commit them to Jesus Christ. May I also say for you, You cannot make your spouse serve Christ. You can't do it. May I also say to you that the Holy Spirit of God can do a far greater with a disobedient spouse than you can or a preacher can. Can I get a witness in this building? God Almighty is the God that if they truly know Jesus as their Savior, whether they be the wife, whether they be the husband, if they truly know Jesus as their personal Savior, they have the Holy Spirit of God living in them just as you do if you're born again. And I promise you this, sweet friend, God Almighty knows their name and God Almighty knows how to bring them back to Him in obedience. So don't get, you said, preacher, yeah, but I get upset, I get disheartened, I get saddened. And honestly, friend, and many times rightfully so, but please, don't ever allow a disobedient spouse, a disobedient child, a disobedient relative, a disobedient friend, coworker, neighbor, it matters not, don't ever allow anyone to keep you from serving the God that died for you. So when you look at these verses, we see this dysfunctional family. Now, under this pain of Hannah, her struggle, there was a struggle, letter A, number one under letter A. Her struggle, first of all, was from within. The Bible tells us about it in verse number two. It says, in the last sentence says, Penina had children, but Hannah had no children. Now you need to understand the Jewish culture. To the Jewish mind, and especially to the women in the Jewish culture, if a woman was unable to bear a child, it was looked on as, even though it was wrong, it was looked on as judgment of God was on that individual. It was looked on as God wasn't blessing that woman. The Bible tells us in the next few verses that she was barren. God had shut up her womb. May I also remind you that it is God Almighty that gives life to a child. May I also remind you it is God that created man and woman, and it is God that created the babies in this world. Now you say, preacher, why is that important? May I also remind you that that little baby that's inside the womb is a living creature. It's a living child. Now when you dig into these things, when you dig into her pain, her struggle was from within, but also her pain was caused from the society from without. She had a struggle from within, the barrenness. She had the struggle of knowing that she couldn't give her husband a child. And she literally had to watch another woman who was the second wife. She had to watch her. And she had to see her give Elkanah child after child after child. And Hannah, here she is, who loves her husband, who the Bible tells us, Elkanah, as you're going to see in these verses, says he loves her. Elkanah is going to go as far and be so arrogant as telling Hannah when she gets saddened because she can't bear a child. Elkanah is going to have the audacity to say, hey, am I not better than you than 10 sons, I believe it is? You see, ladies and gentlemen, Elkanah is a man that is so stuck on himself, I believe, that he doesn't care what God's word has to say. The society that was without, the pain that caused Hannah, the struggle within, and the society without, you have to understand something. The society, the culture to which Elkanah and Hannah found themselves was a godless, heathenistic society, and probably one of the worst periods ever in the nation of the history of the nation of Israel. If you will, turn back just a couple of pages to the book of Judges. You go past Ruth. Go back to the book of Judges, the last chapter, chapter 21, verse number 25, will give you an insight into the society that was causing pain in Hannah. The Bible tells us in Judges chapter 21, verse 25, here's the context. Look at verse 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Notice the consequence. Every man did that which was right in what? His own eyes. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now on the surface, you may not think that's a big deal. But friend, understanding the contextual aspects of this, it is a big deal. For man to do that which was right in his own eyes meant they weren't going to do what God's ways were. Now you say, preacher, yeah, but to each his own. I mean, we live in a culture of the feel-good, do-it culture. May I remind you of something, ladies and gentlemen? This wasn't just any nation. This was God's chosen nation, right? This wasn't just any people. This was a people and a nation that claimed that Jehovah God was their God. This was a nation that claimed and tried and let everybody know that they followed the law of God, the Bible, the precepts of God's holy word and testimonies. But yet now the society has gotten so corrupt. The society has grown so wicked. The society and culture has gotten so pagan and so anti-God that now man, rather than doing what God's word says, they're going to do that which was right in their own eyes. Boy, does that not parallel a land in which we live today? But here's some truth for you. I don't care if this nation goes straight to hell in a handbasket. If you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, we live by a different standard. We obey a different law. We obey God's word. You say, yeah, but Pastor, don't you know that it isn't easy taking a stand against the onslaught against Christianity? Ladies and gentlemen, it isn't easy, but I promise you at the judgment seat of Christ, it'd be worth it. It'd be worth it. It'd be worth serving Jesus. It'd be worth taking stands for marriage and the sanctity of life and the nation and our foundation that we were founded on as a nation. It'd be worth standing for. And you see in the context of 1 Samuel, turn back to chapter 1 of 1 Samuel real quick. In the context of these verses, we see not only her pain was caused, her pain, and we see the dysfunctional home and the disobedient husband, but we also see something else. We see her plea. You see, in the midst of a crooked, perverse nation, in the midst of a pagan culture that had drifted so far away from God, that it was leaving people to just kind of, if it felt good, do it. Living by the no absolute mentality. Living by, well, if it's okay for you, it might not be okay for me. If it's okay for me, then it might not be okay for you. The only problem with that is, on the authority of the Bible, there absolutely are absolute truths, and they're found written in the pages of this Bible. You say, preacher, yeah, but what's the big deal about if it feels good, do it? When the Bible says there was no king in Israel, what that meant was no king in Israel to the Israelites represented there was no authority. And ladies and gentlemen, if you can rationalize and say it to yourself enough that there is no authority, then what you're saying is no authority means I'm not accountable to anybody. And if there's no authority and I'm not accountable to anyone, then therefore I can live like I want to. I can eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow we die. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you need to also understand, eat, drink, and be merry, tomorrow we die, but understand this principle. Yes, we die, but there's going to be a judge we'll stand before. And his name is Jesus. He's Jehovah God. He is righteous. He is true. And he will judge this nation and all nations by his holy word. That's why you have to be born again. You don't want to stand before Jesus lost in your sins, friend. You better stand before him forgiven by the shed blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through his death, his burial, his resurrection. He'll forgive you of your sins if you call upon him. He'll save you. He'll change your life. Now, let's dig in. This is such a beautiful story. And I really sincerely from the bottom of my heart hope it encourages every mom, but also every lady. And truly, honestly, you could kind of run on the other side of it. And honestly, hope it encourages every single one of us in this room. We see Hannah's plea. As the story unfolds for us, the Bible tells us and just really pours into the thought of the pain that Hannah experienced. Verse 3 says, "And this man, Elkanah, went up out of his city yearly to worship and the sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Elhophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. Her pain continues. Her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. How evil, how hateful Peninnah was to Hannah. How evil, how hateful this woman was to another woman. You know, sad is the day when women are hateful to one another. I've never understood that in all my life. I've never understood how, not just women, but how people can be hateful to each other. May I interject this thing. I don't understand how people who claim the name of Jesus can be hateful to one another. I don't understand that. You see, if we have Jesus as our Savior, may I remind you that if we have Jesus as our Savior, is it fair to say that He changed our lives? Is it fair to say that? Is it fair to say that we're different? Let me say it this way. Is it fair to say that we should be different? We should act different? You say, yeah, but preacher, you just got to understand, somebody says something wrong about me, I'm going to come after them. Why don't you let the Lord do your battles for you? And why don't the next time somebody says something ill about you, rather than going around and gossiping about it and run that person down, why don't you pray for them? Why don't you go to God's throne for them? Maybe, just maybe, that might do something remarkable in your life and their life. The Bible says in verse 7, and as he did so year by year, Elkanah, when she went up to the house of the Lord, she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. So here you see Hannah. You know, Elkanah's taking Peninnah and the kids, and they're going to church, and they're worshiping the Lord. And boy, old Peninnah's just jabbing at Hannah. Oh, man, you'll never give him children. You'll never carry on his name. You'll never be the wife that you should be. Let me just interject something here, if the Lord will use it. May I interject something to you, all of you ladies that are married, you have a family. Don't ever listen to the lies of Satan. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Here's what Satan will whisper in your ear. Here's what Satan whispers in the ears of a lot of spouses, a lot of women, a lot of wives. Satan will whisper things like this. Oh, you're not important. Your job doesn't mean anything. Oh, you're just a housewife. Oh, you're just here with these kids and raising these kids. Oh, I mean, you know, some of you have to work outside the home, and I understand that. My goodness, in the nation, the culture which we live, in the economy that we have or lack thereof, sometimes it takes 2-3 incomes to even make it. But ladies and gentlemen, hear my heart. Ladies, you are important to God. Ladies, your job does matter. Ladies, that husband that you have, you said, preacher, but I just can't do nothing with him. No, but God can. God can do something with him. Keep praying for him. Keep being faithful to God. Turn him over to the Lord Jesus. And I promise you, God can do that. Now, maybe to the men here, they say, preacher, yeah, but my wife, she isn't, she doesn't really want anything to do with God. What do? You turn her over to the Lord. You live a godly life in front of her. You stay faithful. You honor Jesus Christ. You live a life that's pleasing to Jesus Christ. And pray that God will use that, and He can, and I promise you He can. So verse number 8 says, then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Now you know why, right? Peninnah's been making fun of her. Peninnah's been jabbing at her. Peninnah's been saying, oh man, you can't give him babies. You know, the devil, and by the way, that's what the devil likes to do, doesn't he? The devil likes to do that, especially to ladies sometimes. The devil likes to jab, and the devil likes to say, oh, wow, look at that. Oh, look at that lady. Oh, look at that person who has a child. Oh, look at that, and look at that marriage. You see, that's what the devil likes to do. The devil likes to take marriages and compare them to one another. But you need to understand something. What I've observed as a preacher for many, many years, and what I've seen and what I've observed, oftentimes what you see on the outside is not what goes on inside the four walls. Can I get a witness in the room? So the next time we were to compare, and the devil wants to compare and make you feel unworthy and make you feel sad because your marriage doesn't look like that marriage, understand something. Don't measure your marriage by their marriage. Measure your marriage by the Word of God. May it please Him. May it honor Him. And when we see in this passage as it unfolds, we see her plea, and I love these verses. So here comes Elkanah, the jerk that he is. Amen? Ladies, let me ask you a question. You think he's a jerk? You better believe it. You think he's a bum? You better believe it. But listen, ladies, fellas, hear me. There ain't no woman that wants to share her man. Can I get a witness in the room? Y'all all right? You wanna see Miss Leslie claw some eyes out? No, you don't. Because I've had it almost. Yeah. I'm telling you. But the point is, God's put something deep down inside. Honestly, God's put something deep down inside the heart of a husband for his wife and a wife for her husband. And you say, yeah, but preacher, that's just jealousy, and that's insecurity. Not in this culture. It's not jealousy and insecurity. It's faithfulness, and God bless faithfulness. Amen. God bless husbands and wives that love each other and are dedicated to one another. And they are the husband's for his wife, and the wife is for her husband. And they love each other, and they'll do everything that they can to keep their marriage strong and faithful to one another. May that, listen. May that be the marriages of Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church. May that be the marriages of the United States of America. Faithful. Loving to one another. The Bible goes on. I got to dig through this real quick. Look at these verses. Elkanah says to her in verse number 8, am I not better to thee than 10 sons? I wonder if Hannah wanted to look at him and say, no, you're a whoremonger. You're a dirty scoundrel. You don't really love me. May I remind you, and ladies, hear me. Young teenage girls, hear me. Hear your preacher this morning. Love characterizes itself in giving. Love doesn't take. If some bum tells you that you got to give something to him for him to love you, you drop him. Amen? You drop him. You say, yeah, but preacher, he's my knight in shining armor. Listen, I used to be Miss Leslie's. Night and shining morning. Yeah. I've got pictures. I told Leslie the other day, I had a picture of Brother Bill when I pastored Westview Baptist. It had to be in the first year, 2 years. I looked like Cameron baptizing a teenager. I was a skinny little fella. You say, what happened to you? Marriage. You all right? When you don't have to chase anymore, you swell up. Amen? Y'all all right? It's going to happen. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. All you flat bellies in the room, you crack me up. Because here's what I say to you. Come and see me in 18 years of pastoring. Can I get a witness in the building? So when you see this, it's because of you. All right? I'm a stress eater. So quit stressing me. All right? Yeah. You said, preacher, you lost a lot of weight. I did. Yes, I did. But what's great about the past, it's in the past. Can I get a witness in the building? Say, what's the point? I have no idea. But let's dig into this real quick. Let's look at these. I hope this is encouragement to you. He's a bum. And notice what Hannah does. He says to her, am I not better to thee than 10 sons? I could see Hannah in quietness of her heart saying, no, you're not. Hear me. Everybody look up here. Ladies, look up here for a minute. I could see Hannah saying in her spirit, no, you're not. But there is one that is, and his name is Jesus. He's better to me than 10 sons. He's better than me than an unfaithful husband. He's better than me, to me, than a lack of love that my spouse gives me. He's better than me. He's better to me than anybody's ever been in my life. And I'm going to show you why I believe she had that attitude as we read through these verses. Verse 9, So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. And Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. Let's flesh this out, folks. Let's flesh this out, ladies. She's hurting. She's grieved. She's at a point in her life where she's so full of, the Bible says, bitterness. She's so hurt that it's become so overwhelming to her that she's literally weeping uncontrollably. You ever been hurt like that? What do you do? Where do you go when you're hurt like that? I hope you'll go to where Hannah went, to the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says, she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Notice her plea, Hannah's plea, and several things under this. First of all, it was sincere. Look at verse 12. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved. But her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli, the priest, thought she had been drunken. She's praying, but she's not praying out loud. She's praying, and she's just not even a whisper. She's just mouthing it. Ladies, have you ever had times in your life that the prayer that you had to pray, you didn't want anybody else to hear? Only God could hear it. You've been hurt so hard. You've been hurt so bad. Only God could hear it. That's where Hannah was. And notice as she continues, this plea was sincere, but it was also specific. Look back at verse number 11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child. You see, specific. Lord Jesus, if you'll look upon me, your handmaid, God, you'll take my affliction away. God, I'm your handmaid. My husband's a bum, and Lord, I know he's a bum. He thinks he's the cat's meow. He thinks he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. But Lord Jesus, you know what a reprobate he is. You know what a hypocrite he is. God, you know he's living by the standards of the world, not the standards of your word. Lord Jesus, if you'll look upon me, and I can hear. Can you hear? Can you hear as her lip quivers? Can you hear her as her heart is broken? Can you hear her and see her as the tears flow uncontrollably down her face? As she says, God, the only hope I have. Ladies, you ever prayed this? God, the only hope I have is in you. God, if you'll give me a little boy, God, I'll give him back to you. God, if you'll bless me with a son, God, I'll give him back to you. Her prayer was specific. Wilt thou give unto thine handmaid a man child? She wanted a son. That was her plea. Notice her Hannah's promise. Look at verse 11. She says, if you'll give me a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head. You see what Hannah was praying. She said, God, if you'll give me a child, I'll give him back to you. I'm not going to give him to the world. Can I get a witness? God, I'm not giving him to the world. I'm giving him to you. Lord Jesus, your word says, hear it. Your word says, Father, that children are a heritage of the Lord. The word heritage literally means a gift of Jehovah God. And Hannah says, God, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you. And we see her promise. Lord, if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. Why? Because she knew that children were gifts of God. And notice her promise. Let's finish this up. As the Bible goes on, verse 14, Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Ladies, if you're here today, you got a heavy heart, I encourage you. You got things in your life that you can't control? Male, female, you get anybody in this room, you got things in your life that you can't control? They're out of your hands. Hear my heart. Quit trying to fix them. Let God fix them. Quit worrying yourself to death. Quit fretting yourself to death. You say, yeah, but preacher, I just really think, preacher, that if I was a better wife, he'd love me more. If I was a better mom, if I was a better homemaker, if I was a better this or if I was a better that. Everybody look up here. Jesus loves you. You don't have to try and impress him. He loves you. Serve him. Be faithful to him. You say, yeah, but pastor, but it hurts. I'm sure it does. But do as Hannah did. She found her solace in Christ. She found what was greater than 10 sons. She found Jesus. And that applies even to anyone in this room today. In verse number 16, she said, count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. Literally, a wicked woman. That's what that meant. She said to the high priest, she said, or to the priest, don't count me as a wicked woman. I'm not drunk. I haven't been drinking. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat. Notice this verse 18. And her countenance was no more sad. Why wasn't her countenance sad anymore? Because she received a promise from the Lord Jesus Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, when you receive a promise from the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have to walk around stepping on your lip. Here's a promise for you. Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Amen? Is that not a promise? Sure, it's a promise. The story goes on and we see her payment. The Bible goes on and tells us, it goes on, look at verse 19. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Literally, they had a proper relationship and a married couple. Like the Bible teaches, the marriage bed is undefiled, whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So they had that intimate relationship. She gets pregnant. She bears a child. Verse 20, wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked of the Lord. She had a baby. But she didn't just have a baby. She had a little boy. Question for you. Did God answer a prayer? Absolutely. Now, the title of the message was A Woman That Brought a Nation Back to God. We see her payment. The name Samuel means heard of God. His name means answered prayer. The name Hannah means gracious. Here's a woman that's been touched by the grace of God. Can you imagine Hannah, now a mother? Man, her smile is from ear to ear. It's awesome, isn't it, to see new moms? Isn't it great here at Emmanuel? Man, I tell you, we're having a baby explosion. Brother Dana, Dr. Dana, pediatrician, man, he loves for y'all to have babies. Amen, Brother Dana? Loves for babies. We're having a nursery explosion in a good way. And I tell you what, there's nothing like the smile on a new mother's face. Amen? That goes away when they become a teenager. But enjoy it right now. Amen? No, the smile and the joy. I can see Hannah bursting, man. Here's old Hannah who's gracious. Can you see her coming to the dinner table? She's no longer an embarrassment to her husband. She's no longer, being ridiculed for not being able to have a baby. But as she sits around the table, and she prays, and she looks across the table, and there's little Samuel. And every time she sees him, she says this in her heart. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. He took the affliction away. The Lord Jesus answers prayer. So what is she going to do? You see, there'd be a temptation, would there not? There'd be a temptation to want to hold on to him. There'd be a temptation to want to shelter him. There'd be a temptation to watch over him. There'd be a temptation, Brother Brian Erspishoff, for him to have to ride the short bus every day to school. Amen? With a helmet. Click, click. There'd be a temptation to protect him. There'd be a temptation to keep him as your own. But here's what she understood. Hi, Amanda. Here's what she understood. She asked God for this baby, and she told the Lord, "Lord, you give me a baby, I'll give him back to you." And there wasn't any debate. Look what she does. The Bible says in verse 24, "And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And she slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord." Look at verse 27. Notice context. We've already read it, but now notice context. "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him." Ladies, I know this is a dumb question. You ever prayed for your babies? Many of you prayed before they were ever born. Tracy Shear, is she in here? Hi, Trace. Did you pray for that little fella? God did a miracle there. And Carson. Tracy sent me a text the other morning. She said, "Preacher, I was driving Kristen to school," and she said, "just started talking about the Lord and started talking about heaven and the gospel and stuff." And all of a sudden, Carson speaks up. Carson's four? Five. He turned five in December. Carson says, "Mom, you sound just like Pastor." That's what he said. 5 years old. "You sound just like Pastor." She prayed. And Hannah prayed. And when she prayed and he got to where he no longer needed her tender care in this sense, she said, "I've got one place I have to take you. I've got to take you to the house of the Lord. I prayed for you, Samuel." Samuel, you may not understand it now, but Samuel, I've taught you. I've taught you to love God. That's what a mom should do. Teach your children to love God. I taught you to serve Him. I taught you to live for Him. I taught you, regardless of the culture you find yourself in, you serve Jesus. Samuel, I've taught you not to live by doing right in your own eyes. Samuel, you live by thus saith the Lord. And she brings him to the house of the Lord, and she says to Eli, "I'm back. You may not remember me, but Eli, I stood in this house, and I prayed for God to give me a baby, and God gave me a baby. But Eli, I told the Lord, if God gives me a baby, I'm going to give him back. Here he is." What was she doing? Was she presenting to the preacher? No. She was presenting him back to the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't do it a lot, but occasionally, we'll have baby dedications here at Emmanuel. It's a time where parents come and they dedicate their child up here on the stage. They dedicate their child and we pray. Do we impart salvation on the children? No. But it's just a picture that, hey, they're gifts of God and we're giving them back to the Lord. But as parents, we're going to do everything in our power to raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of Jesus Christ. A godly mother who brought a nation back to God. You know what's going to happen as that young man grows up in the church? Pardon the phrase. What happens is that young man grows up in the house of the Lord. Here's what's going to happen. God's going to raise him up. God's going to raise him up in a crooked and perverse nation to be a priest, a prophet. And God's going to use Samuel in a mighty way to anoint kings in the nation of Israel. And literally, God's going to use this baby that grows up from a love of a godly mother in a wicked, wicked world to bring a nation back to the Lord Jesus. You say, "Preacher, I mean, surely my child would never be that." No, may not be. But you know what your child could do? Your child could grow up, and because of your godly influence as a mother, could grow up with a love for Jesus that started maybe in his mom. When I think about that, I think of a young man by the name of Timothy in the New Testament. Paul talked about that sincere faith that was in Timothy's grandmother and also in his mother. That godly influence. You say, preacher, yeah, but children need a dad. And yes, they do. We understand that. But ladies and gentlemen, I'll be honest with you. In our nation, sadly, it's a terrible indictment on our land. But in our nation, there's a lot of men that aren't worth 2 cents. Amen? There's a lot of men that have the attitude and the audacity to say, well, church is just for women and children. I got news for you, sir. Church isn't just for women and children. Churches are for men, women, boys, girls, grandmothers, grandpas to come to church to worship Jesus. And I got news for you. Building your life on Christ is building a life that you don't have to regret. Can I get a witness? You say, oh, preacher, my kids, they'll get it. When they get old, they'll get it. It's proven, statistically proven. The children don't. Children rarely become what we preach at them. More often, they become what we are. They become what we are. When your children look at you, do they see a love for Jesus? I hope they do. Stand and please for him, invitation. Brother Stephen's going to come and lead us in a hymn, but here's the invitation. First and foremost, if you're here without Jesus, sweet friend, I call upon you right now to repent of your sin and place your faith and trust in Christ, believing the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ the Lord. He'll save you if you'll call upon him. Maybe the Lord's leading you to this church. We'd love to have you. Our doors are wide open. And worshiping God with you would be a wonderful thing. But maybe you're here today. Say, preacher, I'll be honest, I never really thought much about the influence of a parent. I really sincerely doubt that Hannah